Good day, everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also called Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And what we're doing here is going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and I get to comment on it, answer questions, perhaps if someone would want to email me. And we've been going through the Gospel according to Mark. Thought I'd pick up here with a few notes from our good friend Matthew Henry. We're in Mark chapter 3. Here is the impudent, impious brand which the scribes fastened upon Christ casting out devils, that they might evade and invalidate the conviction of it, and have a poor excuse for not yielding to it. These scribes came down from Jerusalem. It should seem they came this long journey on purpose to hinder the progress of the doctrine of Christ. Such pains did they take to do mischief. And coming from Jerusalem, where the most polite and learned scribes, and where they had opportunity of consulting together against the Lord and his anointed, they were in the greater capacity to do mischief. The reputation of scribes from Jerusalem would have an influence not only upon the country people, but upon the country scribes. They had never thought of this base suggestion concerning Christ's miracles till the scribes from Jerusalem put it to their heads. They could not deny but that he cast out devils, which plainly bespoke him sent of God, but they insinuated that he had Beelzebub on his side, was in league with him, and by the prince of the devils cast out devils. There is a trick in the case. Satan is not cast out. He only goes out by consent. There was nothing in the manner of Christ casting out devils that gave any cause to suspect this. He did it as one having authority, but so they will have it who resolved not to believe him. The rational answer which Christ gave to this objection, demonstrating the absurdity of it, Satan is so subtle that he will never voluntarily quit his possession. If Satan cast out Satan, his kingdom is divided against itself, and it cannot stand. He called them to him as one desirous they should be convinced. He treated them with all the freedom, friendliness, and familiarity that could be. He vouchsafed to reason the case with them, that every mouth may be stopped. It was plain that the doctrine of Christ made war upon the devil's kingdom and had a direct tendency to break his power and crush his interest in the souls of men. And it was as plain that the casting of him out of the bodies of people confirmed that doctrine and gave it the setting on, and therefore it cannot be imagined that he should come to such a design. Everyone knows that Satan is no fool, nor will act directly against his own interest. Christ is so wise that, being engaged in war with him, he will attack his forces wherever he meets them, whether in the bodies or souls of people. It is plain Christ's design is to enter into the strong man's house, to take possession of his interests he has in the world, and to spoil his goods, and to convert them to his own service. And therefore it is natural to suppose that he will thus bind the strong man, will force him to speak when he would, and to stay where he would, and thus show that he has gained the victory over him. The awful warning Christ gave them to take heed how they spoke such dangerous words as these, however they might make light of them as only conjecture, and the language of free thinking, if they persisted in it, would be a fatal consequence to them. It would be found a sin against the last remedy, and consequently unpardonable, for what could be imagined possible to bring them to repentance for their sins in blaspheming Christ, who would set aside a strong conviction with such a weak evasion. It is true, the gospel promises, because Christ has purchased forgiveness for the greater sins and sinners, many of those who reviled Christ on the cross, which was a blasphemy of the Son of Man, aggravated to the highest degree, found mercy, and Christ himself prayed, "Father, forgive them," but this was blaspheming the Holy Ghost. For it was by the Holy Spirit that he cast out devils, and they said it was by the unclean spirit. By this method, they would outface the conviction of all the gifts of the Holy Ghost after Christ's ascension, and defeat them all, after which there remained no more proof, and therefore they should never have been forgiven. They should never have forgiveness, but were liable to eternal damnation. They were in imminent danger of that everlasting punishment from which there was no redemption, and in which there was no intermission, no remission. We left off at Mark chapter 3, about verse 28, and that's what I really wanted to cover, was Matthew Henry's comments on the unpardonable sin, as many people like to call it, the unpardonable sin. And it certainly would seem that that's what is being said here. But I believe our good friend Henry, he lays it out very clear. And the way I understand it is the way he lays it out. So I'll read it again. "Verily, I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven." This, of course, is Jesus, Yahshua, the Son of God, speaking. He says, "All sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall hath never forgiveness," it says. "But he is in danger of eternal damnation." Now you can see what seemingly are contradictory statements here. He says, all manner of sin will be forgiven. All blasphemy shall be forgiven. And then he goes on to say that blaspheming against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness. I've had people actually ask me, you know, who believed that they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They were worried about it because perhaps they said some rash words, kind of like the words of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites here. So they worried about it. And then you have all these idiots, you know, if you go onto YouTube, and it's a very sad thing, you know, the blaspheme challenge, you know, and then they quote the verse that whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit, and then they challenge people to go on and publicly on YouTube blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And it's very sad. You know, I've watched some of these clips of these people going on there and moving their lips and opening their mouths. They do not look happy when they get down to doing the deed and taking up the blaspheme challenge. And now, are all those people condemned to hell forever? Well, you know, some people are strict, judgmentally strict on the scripture, saying, yes, absolutely. Well, I couldn't say that because I don't sit in the place of judge, jury, to condemn those people. I hope that some of them will turn away. I can see in some of them that they will never, that they've, with their whole heart and their whole mind, with full consciousness of what they're doing, have turned away from God. They've made a, you know, there was a fork in the road, and this is the road to never following God, never accepting forgiveness, never accepting the work of Christ, if totally throwing it off forever. And like I said, it really saddened my heart. It saddens my heart. And when I've watched some of these people publicly proclaim they're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what, also the few people that have come to me and with fear that they've done this thing, you can see the repentance in these people. And I tell them, I say, you know what? Just the fact that you're worried about it means that you haven't done it. Because those people that have done this to this point where it's unforgivable, they're not worried about it. They're too busy sinning and enjoying their sin, or they're too busy in the torment of their sin, because some people get so deep in their torment after they've forsaken the way that the torment is all they have left, and they can never forsake their torment because it would be unthinkable. And their torment, of course, is demonic, and they are totally controlled, if not possessed, by demons. And they have no choice anymore. They would not if they could. And of course they could, because our Heavenly Father, he said, all manner of sin, all manner of blasphemy will be forgiven. Isn't that what he said here? He said, verily I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they blaspheme. So what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit so that you are treading on this unforgivable, where you have never forgiveness and you're in danger of eternal damnation? Danger! You know, it's like that old series, Danger, Will Robinson, Danger. You know, the robot said, Danger, Danger. Well, you know, if you have the danger, it means you need to do something about it. So what does it mean? It means that you continue to rebuke the work of the Holy Spirit. Because what is the job of the Holy Spirit in our life? And here, you know, our good friend Matthew Henry, he describes what he deems the work of the Holy Spirit, because this is the Spirit working in the spiritual realm. This is a manifestation in the physical realm of the working of the Holy Spirit in the spiritual realm. But, you know, most of us will never see anything like casting out a demon and the workings of spiritual things unless we see them in ourselves and we don't see them with our eyes. And, of course, these men, these scribes, Pharisees, they were blind. They weren't seeing anything at all. But the Scripture gives us a job description. The Holy Spirit is here to convict us of sin. And that conviction of sin is to lead to repentance. And the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. And the Holy Spirit will continue to convict us of sin. But if we continue to deny the Holy Spirit, as these scribes and Pharisees were denying the work of the Holy Spirit, attributing it to demons, or even the father of demons, Beelzebub, Satan himself, they denied the Holy Spirit. They denied the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of others. And they denied the conviction that was going on in their heart by that same Holy Spirit at that time. And if you continue to deny the Holy Spirit, you are in danger of hellfire. You are in danger of eternal damnation. And it will be soon enough that your heart will become so hard to the work of the Holy Spirit that you will not be able to hear Him. And that is the position of a lot of people. They have blasphemed. They have denied the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and in the lives of others so long and so much that it is unthinkable to them. Some of them living in constant torment and fear and miserableness, filled with such hatred for God and the things of God that they can never turn around regardless. And that's what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, to deny His work in your life continually to the point where there is no reversal for you. But if you want to get literal about it, well, get literal about it. You know, some people will condemn others, but, you know, He said, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. If your heart is convicted, and perhaps you have a real hard heart, I don't believe that it's hopeless. If you can just hang on to the truth, if you can just cry out and say, I need forgiveness, I want to leave this torment, this misery, and this hatred that has consumed my heart, this hatred for God and all things godly and for His Word, I want to let go of it before it consumes me. You know, I believe that it's possible, because where there is life, there is hope. Where your mortality has not ended, there is hope. There may be very little hope. And for some, yes, perhaps they are hopeless, but it's not for me to judge. The only thing it is for me to do is to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. And part of His job's description to me is not to condemn other people and not to reinforce their hopelessness and their unrepentant position and to It's not my place to do that. My place is to preach His word and to speak His word and call men to repentance by doing this biblical study every day and witnessing and allowing my life to be an epistle. So I like the word Paul said, don't you know that you are living epistles? So we are, our life should be a demonstration of the grace and the forgiveness of our Creator. So there you have it, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I would never say anyone did it, not even those poor fools who get on YouTube and make some effort to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. They're fools. They don't know what they're doing. They have no clue. Now, there may be those that knew and know what they're doing, and maybe there is no forgiveness for them. But like I said, it's not my place to sit in judgment of them. I have my job description here, and that is to be obedient to the Heavenly Father and do the works that He has for me to do while I am here in this mortal flesh to minister to other mortals, that we all may sit in heavenly places, and thus being seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Christ Jesus, our Messiah, we are able to sit in heavenly places forever. Let us continue here in Mark chapter 3, verse 30. He continues after he says, verse 29, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And my point is here, given this verse, is that whoever shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And if you're in danger, and you have the opportunity to get out of danger, you should. While you still have mortality left, perhaps you could leave off blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And that's my point. And if you leave off, then, you know, whatever sins you committed for, go for the verse before that, where all manner of sins, even blasphemy, shall be forgiven. I think that the Messiah here is trying to drive a point home. He's trying to make us get it, that the danger is real. And I think those poor fools and that go on YouTube and make that video, they don't understand the danger. And hopefully many of them will see the danger and receive the forgiveness. Of course, I know that the temptation of Satan is so, you know, Satan pulls that same garbage. His demons pull the same trash on all of us. Look what you did. You can never be forgiven. You're not good enough for God. Well, in that case, I say, get thee hence, Satan. Because he said all manner of sin and blasphemies, wheresoever they shall blaspheme, shall be forgiven. I'll accept that. And he continues, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. And that was his reply to them, because they said he had an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said to him, behold, thy mother, and that was Miriam, Mary, as they call her in the Authorized King James Version, her name was Miriam, and thy brethren, so he actually had brothers and perhaps sisters in the flesh, or put it that way, he had half-brothers. Now, whether perhaps Joseph's husband, I mean, Miriam's husband, his mother's, his stepfather, perhaps when he married his mother, perhaps he already had children from a prior marriage, perhaps he was a widower, had a wife that died and already had children, and perhaps he had children with Mary afterwards. There's no reason why he wouldn't have or shouldn't have. She was not a perpetual virgin. Nothing in the scripture there tells us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a virgin all her life, as the RCC, that is the Roman Catholic cult, teaches. He obviously had mothers, and he had a mother and brothers, or brethren, so which could include sisters. So he answers and he says, who is my mother and my brethren? And he looked around on them that sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And, you know, what a wonderful statement coming from the Son of God, from this all man, all God, God in the flesh, inviting us to join his family. Whosoever shall do the will of God. You know, there's the qualification, doing the will of God. And perhaps we're going to have to talk a little bit more about that when we get back from the break. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Please go by there, watch a short video, take advantage of the resources there, and email me. I'll be back.